the song.
Quit looking at me that way. Water from my body won't hurt the carpet, Father.
Watching as Siren got dressed, Xavier's thoughts drifted to how she had come into his life. Raising a child was something that he had never planned to be a part of his life as a young man. And for most of his first 37 years, that was true. But for a short while after Nathaniel Lotherman brought him into his confidence about the true nature of his project and dream, Nathaniel changed that one aspect of Xavier's life. Though the complex was housed completely underground, all 15 levels of it, not including the basement area, also known as the cellar, it was, literally, a dark and stormy night near the end of July when that change came. Wakened out of a deep sleep by Lothor's voice speaking aloud into his very comfortable bachelor quarters, Xavier was summoned to the operating room in the cellar. Having two different medical degrees and enough years of practice that would make another man feel old, he didn't question the order. He just threw some clothes on and got down to the cellar as quickly as possible. Xavier's surprise at hearing the sound of a newborn infant screaming when the elevator doors opened in the cellar took him aback. Still, logic made him follow the sound of the cries, straight to the special operating room in this area. When he opened the door, he watched the tall, dark, blonde man, a young Peter Hugan, one of the newest medical resident supervisors in the complex, turn to face him. In his arms was a tiny form wrapped in a sterile towel.
"Give the child to Xavier." "This is my daughter, born approximately 10 minutes ago. No one, save for her mother, Dr. Hugan, and yourself, are aware of her existence. I'm giving her to you to raise."
"But..."
"No one is to know that she is my daughter. Furthermore, until I choose to reveal it, she isn't to know anything of her background or family. Raise her as your own. But never forget for a moment that Siren, that is the name I've given her, is my child."
Siren was Nathaniel and Zoe's child utterly. Her attitude and intelligence she got from Nathaniel. Not often was it seen, but her father's arrogance was as much a part of her own nature as her hair color came from her mother. She had also inherited Nathaniel's brilliance, evidence of that becoming apparent to Xavier as he watched her mature. He had seen, but not commented on, the fact that except for the fact of her being female and having her mother's colouring, Siren could be a dead ringer for her father. Now, 24 years later, watching this tall, leggy, and at the moment naked, dark, auburn-haired beauty getting dressed, Xavier couldn't imagine his life without her in it. He had raised her to have total confidence in herself, to feel no shame or embarrassment of the naked human body. From the first day he carried her into his quarters on the third level, far removed from the lowest levels of the complex where she drew her first breath, Siren became, for all intents and purposes, his daughter. Watching her, Xavier couldn't help but feel pride in the part he had played in rearing, nurturing, and guiding Siren into the woman she had become.
"So what's on your agenda for today?"
"I have a couple of things to take care of.
Directives from Lothos." "What's on your agenda for today? An all-day date or another day on the job?"
"Well, now, you know that I don't have anyone special in my life other than you. So I guess it's another day on the job."
Xavier watched her go to her dresser and look down at the delicate, very lifelike mask that had become a part of her attire. Picking it up, Siren gently fingered the cheek of the mask, a frown etching her features.
"Father, I know that we've discussed this before about being out in public, but I have to question again why I must always wear this mask outside of our quarters. Is it that necessary?"
"Yes, my dear, it is most necessary. As I have told you before, there are those who would have you killed because you are my daughter if they knew who you are, and I can't bear the thought of you being harmed. Thus the reason for the mask.
I understand the reason for the mask. It's just so hard to eat when I'm wearing it. I'll be back in a minute with our breakfast.
Upon entering the cafeteria to get breakfast, she walked up to the line and waited patiently for the line to proceed. Glancing around the room, she noticed several people staring at her only to glance away when their eyes met. Every time she had to get out of her quarters, it would happen, driving her to the point of insanity. Desperately wanting to take the mask and throw it across the room to hear it shatter against a wall, she clenched her teeth and tried to calm herself down. Having achieved a small handle on her anger, she proceeded in the line. Seeing that they had pancakes and French toast on the breakfast buffet, she prepared a plate of French toast for Xavier, his favourite, and a plate of pancakes for herself. Each plate had sausage, bacon, and a small helping of hash browns. After lathering both plates with syrup, Siren poured two glasses of orange juice and placed them on the tray. Nodding to the cashier to take care of the bill by debiting her account, she started towards the door. It was at that point that a young man hurrying out of the cafeteria bumped into her arm, causing the tray to tip backwards onto her uniform on the floor.
Why, you clumsy oaf!
I'll be glad to clean up my mess.
It'll be a cold day in hell when that happens.
Guess I better go get my jacket on, huh? Trevor, shut up. I'm sorry. What can I do to make amends?
My cleaning bill may be a starting point. Or is that too much for your feeble mind to even consider at the moment?
Damn. Temper, she's a dead match with Zoe Malazan. About as feeble as yours. Send the bill to Trevor Conroy.
Mr. Conroy, is it? Feeble-mindedness and disrespectfulness must run in your family, sir. However, it's hard to ascertain which is which. It's hard to realize when you're talking to your new supervisor, isn't it, Mr. Conroy? It's not the best way to start out, is it?
New supervisor or not, I won't take that type of self-satisfying at the other person's expense attitude from anybody, except Lothos and the supervisors that tell this smarmy bitch what to do. Probably in the same measure that snottiness runs in your family, ma'am. And, by the way, Madam Supervisor, when I'm on my breakfast hour, it's my time, not yours. If I'm late, then you can chew my ass out. But don't horn in on my time. Close your mouth. You'll draw flies.
Mr. Trevor Conroy! Stop right there!
Sorry. I've got to get to work. Bye.
Man.
Going back down to the third floor, she bounded into her quarters and removed the mask. Without thinking, she threw the mask across the room, feeling satisfied when she heard it shatter against the wall.
Where's breakfast?
Where's breakfast? Well, let me see. I believe that it's all over my bodysuit, as you can tell, as well as the orange juice that I at one point had. However, thanks to Mr. Trevor Conroy, it's now on the cafeteria floor. He's a very insolent-mannered man, and when I see him again, he won't be able to stand. I can't believe how he treated me when it was his fault that our breakfast landed on the floor!
And how did you react?
How do you think I acted? He asked if he could clean up his mess as he undressed me with his eyes, and I slapped him twice before telling him that he could pay for the cleaning.
Did he offer to pay for the cleaning?
Yes, but that was after I told him that disrespectfulness ran in his family. Okay. I guess I deserved what I got, but he was rushing to get back to work from the cafeteria, no less, and I am his immediate supervisor effective today, which I did tell him. Why didn't you teach me to keep my mouth shut?
You, my own dear one, seem to learn best when you charge full bore into a situation, smoke rolling out of your ears. Even when you discover that you vastly overreacted. And from the look in your eyes and what you've just said, that tells me that you've learned a little bit more just now. Now, go get breakfast again. I'm starving. Siren, Lothos will scorch your hide. A supervisor appearing in public in your, state of dress.
Well, at least it would be something out of the norm now, wouldn't it? The mask! I don't have another! Oh. I've really got to learn how to keep my anger under control.
I'll go get breakfast. And while I'm gone, no bloodletting in the front room. If there's so much as a spot of blood anywhere in here, you'll scrub the walls. You know the rules.
Oh, Dad.
You've been listening to Quantum Retribution, Shifts in Time, featured at the Quantum Leap Radio Files. Featured in this episode was Steve Anderson as Timms, David Ault as Lothos and the Announcer, Ben Harmer as Albert Calavici, MJ Cogburn as Tala and Siren Lothaman, Shane Devon as Sam Beckett, Helen Earle as Zoe Malvison, Shane Harris as Xavier and Trevor Conroy, Carol McBain as Krista Calavici, and Mark Ribola as Dr. Peter Hugan and Production Announcer. Production and post-production by MJ Cogburn. Executive producer for Owl's Place is Brian Green. Theme music and sound effects are used with permission and are available for download at sounddogs.com. This has been a Quantum Retribution production. For more audios, please be sure to visit www.quantumleap-owlsplace.com/radio.